Okay, Blog Talk's going live. Hi, this is Ann McNeil, a master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And we want to welcome you to another My Investing Story. Tonight, we have another special guest for you. We promised last week, and we are here to deliver. Tonight, our special guest is none other than Ms. Sonia Harper, and she's going to share her investing story. But before we do that, I want to introduce my special co-host, Ms. Ione McNeil, the baby billionaire, and she's going to help promote and share the show as she interview our guests. But we want to tell you just a little bit about who we are, what we do, and what we're not. All right? This program, the idea behind My Investing Story, it's not really my story yet, but we decided to host My Investing Story because everybody has an investing story. But everybody don't want to share their story for a lot of different reasons. But as volunteers with the Better Investing organization formed in 1951 and has helped over 5 million individual investors learn how to analyze stocks and how to invest using stock investment tools, software, and also the educational magazines and other software and programs by helping individuals form effective and profitable investment clubs. We are not day traders. We're not stock analysts. We're simply volunteers. Volunteers with a heart willing to share and to serve, to bring to you our investing stories. And so with that, I'm going to introduce my co-host, but then also we're going to have Sonia come on and share her investing story. Good evening, Ione. Good evening, Sonia. How are both of you tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm always excited, but I tell you what, I'm very excited tonight. We had a chance to chat a little bit, and of course, Ione's had a chance to share with you, and we want to thank Akari for always being there and bringing on our special guests. But as volunteers, we really, you know, 20 years we've been doing this. And I like to encourage people to think about, as we interview our guests, think about the value of a $20 bill. A $20 bill once a month invested in something you know, like, and trust, compounded over 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So when we say, oh, I can't invest, I don't have enough money, I don't know how, that may have worked back in the day. But today, you have no excuse. And so our desire is to continue to bring on just regular people like me, like Ione. I can't speak for our guests, so we're going to find out how regular Sonia is when she shares her story. But let's get to it. So Ione, good evening. How are you? And we're going to go ahead and start with Sonia and have her share. How did she get here? You're on mute, Ione, you and the birds. All of our children are called the birds. So for those of you that follow us every Ione loves the outdoors. She loves the birds and they love her. And so they participate in the show. So if you hear tweet, tweet, twerk, twerk, it's our family. It's the birds outside. All right. Thank you.
So thank you for that introduction. And I do want to say again, a big shout out to Akari for introducing me to Sonia and Sonia to the My Investing Story family. So welcome, Sonia.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you, Akari, for making the connection.
So one of the questions that I like to generally start off every guest is just simply asking, what is one of your earliest memories of money as a child? How did, as a child, what type of experiences did you have to develop your relationship to money?
So my relationship to money as a child wasn't very healthy. So do you remember Everybody Hates Chris? And the mom would always say, I don't need this job. My man got three jobs. You're like, that was my mother. And so my mom would go and buy whatever she wanted, when she wanted, didn't think about the consequences. And even to this day, if my mother has $5, she's going to spend $4.99. So my relationship to money was, if you have it, spend it. And that caused a lot of problems for me as I started to grow up and I started living on my own. Because at one point in my early 20s, I probably had maybe 7 or 8 credit cards and all of them were maxed out because I had it. So I spent it. And to me, credit cards were extra money.
With no consequence.
Absolutely no consequence. And I was one of those people where the collection agencies would call and I would pretend it wasn't me. So right. I had to, and I think I was probably in my late 20s, I wanted to buy a house, and a good friend of mine, his best friend worked in banking, and I was like, hey, I want to get a loan. He ran my credit report and he was like, you can't get a house with lower than a 10% interest rate. So I had to wait a number of years before I could buy a house. That's how bad I was with money. So it really, I had to do a complete reset in order to get my act together. I actually cashed out all of my savings to pay off all of my debt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So but by the time you did that, you felt like it was time, right?
Yeah, because I couldn't do anything. Yeah, I couldn't do anything. I my credit was jacked up. I couldn't get credit cards. I couldn't buy a house, you know, but my parents never sat down and talked to us about money. My parents never sat down with us and talked to us about paying bills and setting a budget. So I had no concept of it. And I had no concept of the consequences of not understanding that until I was on my own, almost 30, trying to figure it out.
How do you go from that mindset to, I'm gonna say coming of age, you know, not just turning adult at 21, but coming of age at 30 and really realizing, wait, what got me here can't get me there. What did you do to help change your mindset and then do that kind of 180 turnaround shift like you did?
I was tired of being broke. And when I say broke, it sounds crazy because at the time I was making a lot of money. So by the time I was 30, my base salary was $95,000 a year, but I had nothing saved. So it was, this can't sustain. So I have to do something different. And I have to go from a spender's mindset to a saver's mindset, or else I'm going to be, you know, 60, 70 years old on Social Security and I don't have anything for myself. So literally it took me biting the bullet. I ended up getting a settlement because my mother was denied Social Security disability when I was still a minor. And I got $1 settlement from that when they finally gave her her money. And that $2,500 really started me on the journey to paying off all my debt. And so I took that money. I took money out of my 401k. I took money out of, you know, what little money I had in my savings account. And I just started paying stuff off and cleaning up my credit report. And even then, when I bought my first house, I still had to get an interest rate of 8%. And after that, I was like, well, now I have a house, now I have a car. Let me, you know, focus on building a future for myself. So that's really what did it, because I was just like, this makes no sense. I make really good money, but I'm broke and I have nothing saved.
Now, you did mention that you were able to pull something from your 401k. Had you been putting a little bit in, or had your company been putting it in since you've been working?
At that time, I probably had maybe 11,000, because I didn't start contributing to my 401k until I was about 26, 27 years old.
And you probably did what, like a 1%, whatever?
I did like the bare minimum. I did just enough to get the match, not understanding the value in maxing out.
No, but that's important. That's why I want you to share that, because a lot of people just think of it as like, oh, they only match 2-3%. That's all I'm going to put in.
Yep. And that's what I was doing at the time. And not understanding at the time that you're going to, you're either going to pay yourself, or the money that you don't invest in your 401k, you're going to pay the federal government in taxes. And so I had to shift to the mindset of pay myself first. And pay myself first was not going out and buying a $200 pair of shoes or going out to dinner. Paying myself first was putting money away in my savings for my retirement first, before the government got its hands on it. And so I had actually took money out of my 401k to pay off credit card bills.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is the worst thing you can do.
But I mean, there is something to be said though about even doing the bare minimum, because you decided late in your 20s, let me do the bare minimum. So by the time you realize, oh, wait, I need to turn my financial life around, you at least had built up $11,000 or, you know, somewhere in there. So, you know, there are baby steps that I want people to understand that you took. Even though you were spending most of what you made, you were still doing some minimum things.
Absolutely.
Helped you make a turnaround.
Absolutely. So yeah, I did that. I got the settlement. I took money out of my 401k. I started paying off my debt. And then up until the point where I bought my house, I saved almost nothing because everything went to pay off my bills because my number one priority was, how do I get a house? This is right before I was moving to Chicago. I didn't want to get an apartment. I've been living in apartments my whole adult life. I wanted to own my own home. I was able to buy my first house at the age of 29. And I was just like, I don't want to live in apartments anymore. So I found a house and I was able to buy my house without having any debt. Wow. Everything had been completely paid off. And the only debt I had at the time that I bought my house was just my mortgage debt.
Wow. So was that how many years did it take you to pay it all off? Do you remember?
It took me about 2.5, almost 3 years.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Wow. I had another question. It just kind of slipped my mind. But I mean, I think that is, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Ione, I just wanted to just interject a second because I think that as more people are coming on and listening in on Facebook Live and also on the radio, I just want to let everybody know we're talking about my investing story with Sonia Harper, and she's a technology professor with I've just given you another title, Sonia, with over 25 years of work experience across multiple industries and 17 years in the software solution sales. She's passionate about customers, technology, and delivering consistent results. Sonia, I have to just back up, Ione, if you'll allow me 1 second, and go back to your desire. You just triggered something inside of me, and that is the motivation. And so often when we talk to people about investing, if they don't have a why, and your why and your motivation and your desire was to blank. And I want to just have everybody just think about, what is your blank? What is your why? Sonia's why was she wanted to own her own home. But before she could do that, she had to get out of debt. Before she could do that, she had to manage her finances. Before she had to do that, she had to acknowledge that there was a problem. And so Ione gave an excellent question to kick this off by asking her about her childhood experiences with money. So I want to encourage all of our listeners, if you agree with this and you're on Facebook Live or you're inside of the Zoom with us, can you just let us hear from you and say, yes, I agree. Or no, you know what? I don't agree. I can't relate to that. And if you have a question, if you would let us hear from you in the chat, because this is a very empowering conversation with Sonia. And we just want to make sure that if you have any questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you. So Ione, back to you and Sonia.
Oh, I'm glad I had the extra time because I just remembered what it was.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, I know you went to the bank and talked to a friend of a friend and got that wake up call. But were you reading any books at the time to help you make that turnaround? How did you kind of create that strategy and the plan outside of being like, I know something's got to change. Let me just take my savings. And I mean, because that's the smart thing to do. I think sometimes people wait. Oh, nobody told me what to do. Oh, I didn't, you know, when really, if you think about it, if you do the opposite of what you did to get there, you probably could get out.
I think I might have saw something on Oprah or saw something on the news. It was basically like, if you've got all this credit card debt.
And probably a Susie Orman.
It might have been. And I'm not a huge fan of Susie Orman. Let me be honest. I'm not a huge fan. But you can learn something from anybody. And I think it was her something like, you can't save anything if you've got a bunch of this debt. So if you can pay it off, pay it off. And like I said, I was tired of having bad credit. I was tired of pretending it wasn't me when the creditors called.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And the wake up call is when my you know, this is a guy, we grew up in the same city. He was just like, you can't get a home loan for less than 10%. And I was like, whoa. let me get this together because I don't want to come to Chicago in debt. I don't want to come to Chicago and not be able to buy a house. I don't want to, I'm 29. I don't want to go into my 30s still broke, still spending all my money. So it was like, literally, I think I saw something on Oprah and it was like, if you can pay this off, pay it off. And getting that little bit of that $2,500, I was just like, well, I'll just go ahead and take this money and start paying stuff off. And that's what I did.
Well, wow. That's congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I don't know if anybody told you that a few years ago. I think that is very commendable to have recognized your own financial situation and then made a commitment to make a change.
Yeah. And I didn't have a husband where I could be like, I don't need this. My husband got 3 jobs. Like my mom had that. I didn't have that.
Okay. Understood. And one of the things I do want to bring back up to the audience, because I did mention this a few shows ago, but what Sonia just spoke about is realizing the cost of money. And that's a lot of times we don't really understand that. Like when she talked about, I maxed out all my credit cards to no consequence. There was a cost to that money. When she invested in her 401k, that was a cost of money that benefited her in the long run, because in between those few years, it was able to grow. So I think that's almost like a silent killer. Some people don't know the difference between the cost of their money and other people's money, depending on the vehicle. So your mortgage, you know, the guy saying, hey, at your credit rate, the cost of this house to you is going to be more than 10%. So if you do these little things, the cost to you is going to be lower. And I think that's very important, because when we think about credit card debt and waiting to pay things off, like I looked at my credit card statement last night, and it said that I owed $1,300, right? Due next month. But then it says, if you only make the minimum payment, you can pay it off in 5 years, but you'll pay $1,900. But then it said, if you pay a little more than the minimum payment, which is like $53, you'll have a savings of, I don't know, $400, and you'll only pay $1,500. And I was like, that's a lie, because really I only owe $1,300. So when they go from, this is the extreme case, $1,900, but here's the saving $1,500, you have to remember, you still only owe $1,300. So if you pay it off early, you get much more of a saving. So those are, I think, some of the things that we all have to be aware of, because we can get caught up, you know, very easily in the buy one, get one free, or buy 10, get one. You know, you realize if you had gone to the store, you would have only bought that one anyway, but now you're trying to rack up because you think you're getting a sale. And you, I think just being mindful of the cost of money. But anyway, outside of that, I did want to get to my next question, which is, how did you find out about investing, and when did you really get started on that path?
So my 401k started when I was 27, but again, I ended up cashing that one out. But I remember I used to talk to friends about having an IRA, but I really wasn't doing a ton of research. So you figure I get to 30, I have my first house, and now I'm starting to rebuild, you know, my savings. And I have my 401k at work. And at that point, I started doing a lot of research. So this is before I even started investing in the stock market. I just started doing research on the 401k and looking at the different mutual funds that were offered. And that started me on the path of like using websites like Morningstar and Fool.com and MSN Money. And Morningstar actually has a really great learning section. And if you want to understand how mutual funds work, you can actually go through, and it's all free. And you can study that to understand what mutual funds are, how they work.
Repeat that area on Morningstar.
There's a learn section on Morningstar.com. And I started looking at that because when I changed jobs and I'm starting to invest in the 401k like legit now. And now because I don't have any debt, I'm not having to pay credit cards. I'm maxing out my 401k. And so I was looking for ways to research the options that were offered to me from my job. And Morningstar, it was fool.com. And then back in the day, this was like 20 years ago, Quicken.com used to actually have a ton of research. They don't now, but you could go to Quicken.com and you could like research stocks and mutual funds and stuff like that. But Morningstar had a free learn section. You sign up for a free profile on Morningstar.com and you can actually take classes, like little like self-directed learning classes, and you could understand, you know, what does NAV stand for? What happens to the price of your mutual fund when a dividend is paid? And, you know, what does it mean when you're looking at how long has the manager been on the fund? And you know, these things are important, and looking at returns and all that stuff. And that's what helped me research the mutual funds that are available for my job. And so I started investing. Once I got comfortable with my 401k, and that's when I turned my attention to, you know, going towards investing in the stock market. And
brokerage account.
Yeah, a brokerage account, and then an IRA.
Okay.
And so for the brokerage account, I was looking at stocks. And I started using ShareBuilder. And ShareBuilder actually doesn't even exist anymore.
That was a wonderful program.
We did the same thing about 20 years ago, right?
Yes. That was my very first brokerage account. And ShareBuilder was awesome because subscription. You could use small amounts of money.
Yep.
$20.
Yes. And ShareBuilder allowed you to buy partial stocks.
Yep. So, Better Investing had a partnership with ShareBuilder when they first got started.
I did not know that.
Because they originally had what was called a low-cost stock investment program.
Right. Okay.
Where before ShareBuilder came out, they built partnerships with a lot of the companies that investor relations departments, when investor relations used to do their share purchases in-house before it got exported, not exported, but there's the other word.
Outsourced.
Yes. Outsourced to ComputerShare and Amstock and BNY Mellon, who ended up specializing in the space and outsourcing, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How I got turned on to ShareBuilder was actually through my credit union.
Credit unions are wonderful.
They had a relationship with my credit union, and my credit union is actually in Denver. So I've been doing online banking for 20 years.
Yeah.
and so I noticed that it had been mentioned with my credit union, and I trust my credit union. It was like, oh, this is interesting. I could go and not spend a ton of money. I don't have to pay expensive
commissions.
Yeah. See, I don't have to pay commissions. Yeah. You know, really expensive commissions, because depending on the value of your subscription with ShareBuilder, the commission could be as low as like $2 a trade. It was really
very low.
I loved it. And it was great for somebody who was beginning, getting feet wet, you know, just wanting to learn about it and play around with it and not have to risk a ton of money.
Exactly.
So that was awesome for me. I wish it still existed. They finally just gave up, I want to say like last year. So like it sold to Capital One sold it to E-Trade. And so that's just the brokerage account. It's not a tool. E-Trade is not a tool for somebody who's just learning.
It was like training wheels for many of us.
Yes. Yes, it was completely.
Yeah, I share with my clients and just friends, actually, the power of a $20 bill with buy and hold. That's how I started, deeply in debt, and I refuse to continue to use the excuse, I don't have it, I can't afford it. But
yes.
when Ione taught me this at a very young age, when you look at the time value of money, you really cannot afford not to.
Yes.
And libraries are free.
Yes. Going to-
And Better Investing has a free membership for 90 days. So if you're listening and you're still using that excuse, Ione is going to give you the details. We're going to put it in the chat. We're going to put it on Facebook. And if you're listening on the radio, just press one, it will answer your question. But betterinvesting.org, on the front page, on the bottom, it says free 90-day membership to Better Investing. And all of this information we're talking, you shaking your head, no, Ione?
Okay. No. I'm shaking my head because I have some other thoughts in my head.
Go right ahead.
Finish what you're saying. I'll share them.
Yeah, no, I just want to take away the excuses, because when I started investing, I was so deeply in debt. Mm-hmm. I thought a portfolio, and this is the God's heaven truth, I thought a portfolio was that thing you carry your briefcase papers in. That's what I thought a portfolio was. And I was sitting with 2 degrees, so if that's what I thought, and yes, I do have a degree in accounting. Yes, I do. But nobody teaches you about investing. We are taught how to make money, but we are not taught how to make the money make money. Can I say that again? Somebody tweet that for me. We are taught how to make money on these jobs and these businesses, but we are not taught. I'm a little excited. I have too much coffee. But we are not taught how to money make money. And we're volunteers. They're volunteers who helped us learn, Ione and I, and many of us, thousands of volunteers all across the United States through Better Investing. And we're here to help people really just become a little bit more educated. And again, Better Investing was established in 1951. It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has helped over 5 million individual investors learn how to invest profitably. You know, like I said, we're not day traders, we're not stockbrokers, we're just regular people who wanna share and give. We don't get paid, we are volunteers. And our desire through this show called My Investing Story is to continue to bring regular people on this show and help all of us understand. Start now. So Ione, I'll turn it back over to the two of you, because I'm just very excited and I'm really loving your story, Sonia, because you're helping all of us understand. We all started with all that debt. All of us started with that debt. But your story will only relate to certain people. And that's why we bring so many different people on the show, because there are people, Sonia, that will only hear your voice. They're not going to hear Ione, they're not going to hear my voice. And then there are people who are millennials and others who will only hear Ione's voice. They're not going to hear mine or yours. And so our desire is to continue to share. And I'm going to go back to Ione with her next question. Go ahead, Ione. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm just thinking, excuse me. And the reason I was shaking my head is because, as some of you all know that and have been watching, not been a part of the My Investing Stories every week, you know, there are some topics I really just don't like talking about because it gets me to the edge, and I don't like my blood pressure to raise. But it just got raised because yesterday I did a presentation, and Tylene, excuse me, you know, commented on it this morning to me, said I did a great job. But I noticed in the presentation that I was starting to get heated, excuse me, because I was talking about time value of money. And I was presenting on compound interest, and I was sharing, you know, the typical, this person starts at this age, this person starts at that age, and the person that starts before, they could put away less money and will end up with more than the person that starts later. And I even, because the presentation and the conversation among the people were going so well, I ended up actually showing my portfolio. My portfolio of the first 6 years, when I first started my Roth IRA in 2004, all the way to 2010, and showing dollar cost averaging and how I was only putting away $200 every week. And at the time, yes, in high school, I got a job.
Not every week, Ione, not every week.
I'm sorry, no. Every month, sorry about that.
What was she doing for a living?
Not going to school. Okay. So yes, in high school, when I came into this information, I got a job just so that I could fund my retirement account. And because I was around people like my mom and people like Sonia, where I saw adults in my life struggling with money, complaining about working, and just all of this stuff that we as kids, we kind of absorb, but when you grow up, you usually say, I want to be like this, or I saw that and I don't want to do that. And I was exposed to both sides. And, you know, during the presentation, you know, people was like, oh, well, I'm not that smart to do this. And I was just like, it has nothing to do with how smart you are. I saw the information. I made a decision that this was important. But the reason I started
at 14.
Right. The reason I really started shaking my head was because I think that we forget that we are part of a lineage. And when we don't respect the lineage, then we tend to make excuses about why we're not doing such and such. And today at the library that I work at, I shared a video with my coworkers, and my coworkers literally started crying. And the video is, it's called, oh, The Privilege Walk. So if anybody want to know what we were kind of all crying about today, just YouTube The Privilege Walk. And
can you put the link in the chat before we leave?
Yeah, I'll find it and put it in the chat. But basically, it's a visual of everybody starting at the same line. And then there's a person that at, let's say, the end of the field. And you have to answer these questions by taking a step forward or a step back or staying where you are. Are your parents still married? Take a step forward. Do both of your parents have a college degree? Take a step forward. If you've never had to work to contribute to your household as a child, take a step forward. If you have a private school education, take a step forward. I mean, all of these privileged questions that insulate those that do have privilege and sometimes enrage some of us that don't have privilege, we're already starting behind. And, you know, I'm really going on this because I know people say, you know, oh, Ioni, oh, the baby billionaire, oh, this and that. But I just really want to say it's not because I was smart. It was because my grandmother cleaned white people's houses. It was because my grandfather was a sharecropper. It was because I saw how hard my mother worked as an entrepreneur and still was forfeiting her paycheck to pay the rest of her staff. And if you grow up with knowing this.
And remember your dad, because he might watch this show.
My dad had me doing discounts when we were window shop. I was tired of going to the mall because we never bought anything. Just window shopping every Saturday. I mean, who wants to do that? Going in the Foot Locker, seeing new Jordans. Oh, we can't afford that. No, I mean, as a child, these things shape you. But I really just want to share for the sake of everybody. You know, we all know that the cards are already stacked against us. And if you really know that, the only question I have for you is, what are you doing to set yourself apart and to continue your legacy to advance us all? Because if I know that my parents were the first in our family to go to school, and my mother is an entrepreneur, then wouldn't the next step of progression be not to work for money, but have my money work for me? Yep. And that's just how I saw it. But again, you know, I think we all see that. I think we all know, hopefully, a little bit, one to two generations of our own personal history. And we damn sure know our racial history. You know, this is what we need to be doing. This is what we have to do for ourselves and for the rest of us. Because if we don't, you know, I think we'll be further damned. So
now back to your question for Sonia.
So my next question for Sonia is, how has investing shaped your worldview and perspective on life?
It's a couple of things. It's a couple of things. And I'll start with the biggest lesson I learned is not to be emotional about it, not to be emotional about investing. That's the biggest lesson I learned, because there's a stock that I sold way too soon, way too soon. And because I was still young, still didn't really understand it as much, but I bought a stock, Simon Property Group. And I bought it, it was like in the 20s, it went up a little bit and then it went down. And I got frustrated, I got emotional about it, and I sold it. A couple of years ago, Simon Property Group was trading at $200 a share. Now, because of COVID, it's down to 60, but that's because there's no foot traffic in malls and a lot of companies aren't paying their rent. So I learned not to be overly emotional about money. The other thing that I learned with investing is that tax law is written by and for people who have money. And understanding that and what you said earlier about having your money work for you, there's advantages when you talked about the cost of money, dollar cost averaging, the cost of, you know, the benefits of investing sooner, the benefits of maxing out your 401k. Tax law is written specifically to encourage and support that. And I also look at money as an enabler. So my relationship to money has completely changed. I have a total savers mentality. So now I went from spending everything that I had to, if I don't have cash, I probably won't buy it. So, you know, when I go on vacations with my girlfriends, it's primarily cash. I'll get like one of those cards from, I forget, what's the name of the place that exchanges currency?
Currency exchange?
Not currency exchange. My brain is freezing. I can't remember the name of it. But it, like when I go on vacation, if I'm going out of the country, you could put money on a card in any currency that you need.
Okay.
But I'm cash to fund it as opposed to spending on my credit cards. So if I can't do it with cash, I won't do it. I have enough money saved where if I were to lose my job and not find another job for a year, I could pay my bills comfortably. And then I also have the enjoyment and the benefit of watching the money I've invested in the stock market, the money that I've invested in my 401k, the money I've invested in my IRA grow. You know, so I'll tell you guys a really interesting story. When I came to work for Dell, and that's how Akari and I know each other, and that's how I got introduced to you all. When I came to Dell, Dell's 401k is a decent 401k, but the options are kind of opaque for your mutual funds. And when I say opaque, it says index fund, balance fund.
Real general, no descriptors.
No descriptors, no way to really research, no good way to compare it against other popular mutual funds in the market. And coming from, you know, I used to work for Accenture, I used to work for Microsoft, I worked for EMC prior to EMC and Dell merging, and they used mutual funds, all of those companies, the mutual funds and their 401k options are the same mutual funds. You can go to any brokerage and purchase, and research and benchmark and compare and all that stuff. And Dell's 401k is relatively opaque when it comes to that. So mutual fund, you know, index fund, balance fund, small fund,
value.
Very, very, very general. And I didn't trust it.
And they didn't say who it was with. They didn't say it was a
you
big
have like a, fidelity you fund. Have like a little bit of information.
Wow.
Like one might say BlackRock, one might say something else. And it's just not consistent and it wasn't
right.
Easily researchable. And so I had a previous 401k that I had rolled from other companies and I was just like, no, I'm not doing it this time. So I rolled it into a rollover IRA. And that way I could research all the funds that were available, everything that was there for me. I've been at Dell for 7 years, and in 7 years I've doubled that money, and it was already in the six figures before I rolled it over, and it's doubled.
And let me just say this too, because once you become a Better Investing member, for those that, of you listening, and you start to learn our methodology, we teach how to select stocks and mutual funds that can double in 5 to 7 years. And what that really means is you're picking growth companies at a value price that is gaining you about an average of 15% a year. If you are investing in something that has 15% year growth over 5 years and you've reinvested those dividends, it'll double in 4.7 years. It'll double in five. And anywhere between a return of 12 and 15 will double your money in 5 to 7 years. So that's just, those are the numbers to, you know, color what Sonia's saying. And it's not impossible, especially with what the market has been doing and how long she's been educating herself. We're not talking about how she paid somebody to pick her stuff for her. She's self-taught. She can do this all on her own.
I just want to interject here. You just using the word pick. I just want to make sure people understand we're not picking, we're analyzing. So I want to just make that difference because, you know, when we say the word pick, there's some people that just, they're day traders and they pick, no analysis or anything. So I just want to make sure that the listeners understand when you hear Ione say the word pick, this is an analysis that is done with software. So like she said, it's not, you know, I just want to make that clarification for all.
Yeah, that's a good clarification, but I also said that Sonia's self-taught. I mean, she just walked us through something I didn't even know, which is the learning section on Morningstar.
Right.
You know, so there is a level of study that you need to do. But what I also want to make clear too is this is a young lady that despite where she came from and her history with money, she taught herself. She did not have to go out, pay somebody to do it for her. I mean, she has been in control of her financial destiny this whole time. And she's sharing with us how she has done it. So she's been investing in her own education, financial and stock information education, and she's been applying that knowledge. And her portfolio was able to double in 7 years. So go ahead, Sonia.
Yeah, so no, that's it. I took that money. I didn't roll it into Dell. I rolled it into a rollover IRA. And yeah, it's doubled. And I've had, you know, money managers want to get their hands on that money.
They all do. Once you've done a certain level for yourself,
yes,
then the calls start to come.
Yes.
Oh, I manage it better. And I'm getting it too. So I told you.
And so the question I always ask them is, if I've done this without you, what am I paying you for?
Some people saying that in their relationships, but we're not.
And so, yeah. And what I will say about how I choose mutual funds now is over time, I've shifted more towards index funds or low fee funds. So not all my mutual funds are index funds, but I've tried to shift as much as possible to either index funds or mutual funds that have low expenses. So I try to keep my expense ratio below 1% so that my money is working for me and I'm not paying, you know, a ton of
fund manager. Right.
Yes.
Well, when did you realize that that load or expense ratio was important when you also balanced it or compared it to the growth of the fund?
I started seeing videos because Vanguard Funds was a pioneer in index funds.
Yes.
Started seeing videos with the head of Vanguard talking about this. And I was like, and I started looking at my portfolio and I started analyzing the expense ratios of my funds versus the returns.
And very important.
Yes. And I started looking at how much that was costing me every year. And you know, the higher the value of the investment, if those expense ratios start adding up. So if you've got an investment in something that's $100,000, if that expense ratio is 1%, Now it's costing you $1,000. And so that's what I started looking at, is like, well, how do I manage this so that my expense ratio is not so high and I'm not paying so much money to be invested in these funds? So that was critical for me. And then I would say on the stock market side, as I said before, as I stopped being emotional about stock and not reacting to other people being emotional when they're invested in the stock market, and I started shifting more towards income generating stocks. Dividend producing stocks. So I started shifting my focus towards dividend paying stocks that pay dividends. Not every one of my stocks pays dividends, but the majority of my stock portfolio does, because that way my monies that I'm investing works for me.
And so you're having those dividends.
Yes,
you're
ma'am.
Looking at dividend as growth, and then you're having that be reinvested to buy more shares of that stock?
100%. 100%.
Wow.
And like I said, not all of my stocks pay dividends, but the ones that don't pay dividends are strong growth stocks. But the majority do pay dividends.
Now, let me ask this question, because I am very interested to know. Have you been doing all of this research and learning on your own? Have you been partnered up with a friend through this journey? Because it sounds like you have great initiative. You've been a self-starter and self-motivated.
I used to talk to a lot of friends about doing it, and people will give you stock tips and stuff like that. But a lot of it is really Morningstar.com. Fool.com, back when Quicken.com would give you information. One of the best stocks I ever picked, PBH, it's called Prestige Healthcare. And I bought that stock at $7 a share. I found it on Quicken.com. I was specifically looking for low-cost stocks that were undervalued that had growth potential. And I found that stock. That was the best stock I bought. I got it at $7 a share. It's trading at over $30 a share now. I think today it was like at 38.
Wow, nice. And is it a dividend producing stock as well?
I don't believe it is, but mm-hmm. That's okay, because
yeah.
It's, you know, I've got, you know, 500% return on my money.
Yes. we didn't even talk about the span of time that it grew from.
Yeah, it's been, how long have I had Prestige? Probably about 7 or 8 years.
That's wonderful.
And I've got a 500% return on that. That's, that was like the best one I've ever picked. And like I said, specifically, I was looking for something that was low cost, it's undervalued. And if you look at the brands that make up Prestige, it's mm-hmm. the boring brands ever, but it's brands that aren't going anywhere.
Right.
And it's things like that actually got me more. So I'll tell you a story how I screwed. You know, I told you how I screwed up.
I got
emotional, sold too soon. What I did to sort of get myself back into it and feel more comfortable with investing is I honestly started looking around my house, and I started looking at the brands that I buy most often. And I was just like, well, I cook a lot. All of the spices in my cabinet, the majority
McCormick.
Why don't I own McCormick stock? Number one spice brand in the world. Why don't I own McCormick stock? Everybody's got Johnson & Johnson products. You've got Band-Aids in your medicine cabinet.
Baby powder for your newborn.
You've got baby powder. You've got baby oil. You probably, if you've been in the hospital, they've got medical devices. So Johnson & Johnson medical devices have been used on you. Why don't I own Johnson & Johnson stock? I looked in the cupboards. Everybody's got a jar of Vaseline, especially if you're Black. You've got a jar of Vaseline in your house. Unilever is the parent company for Vaseline. Why don't I own Unilever stock? So that's how I moved myself away from being emotional about it. And I started thinking about, you know, if it's companies I'm investing in every day, why don't, you know, every day, every month, every year, why don't I own a piece of them? I pay my electricity bill every month. Millions of people have to pay electricity bill. I own stock in the parent company of the electricity company in Chicago. I own stock in the parent company of People's Energy. They provide natural gas to the residents of Illinois. So places where I'm constantly spending my money, companies that aren't going anywhere, companies that have increased their dividends. I used to work for Microsoft. I own a ton of Microsoft stock. That's where I'm seeing my money really perform.
Wow. I just want to say at the end of that, Sonia just told you, without anybody else bringing it up, that she created her own portfolio by walking around her house and investing in the things that she was already buying and using on a regular day-to-day, month-to-month basis. And she doubled her money in 7 years. So I don't, if nobody else made the connection, I made the connection. So I do want to leave you, Sonia, with this question. Do you have an ultimate vision for your life in terms of investing? You know, do you want to retire early? Do you want to, you know, buy an island and just, you know, be out on the beach? You know, what is kind of your the product of your long-term investing?
The plan right now is to retire with at least $3 million. That's the goal right now, is to have $3 million in retirement savings. I own two properties now. And so I own a condo and I own my townhouse. My condo is going to be paid off in 7 years. I have a renter. I'm just going to continue to rent that. So once that's paid off, then I'm going to use the rent that I'm collecting on the condo to pay the mortgage on my house. And then the goal is to retire, if I can, in the next 5 to 10 years with at least $3 million in assets. So between my 401k, my IRA, have that be worth at least $3 million. That's the goal.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a very feasible goal.
Yes.
Especially if you can continue to double your money in, you know, 5 to 7 to no more than 10 years. That's, I think, the thing that people don't realize. And what I shared yesterday, you know, at the rate that she's doubling her money, once she gets a million, one becomes two, two becomes four, four becomes eight. And that's the real power of starting early, being aggressive when you do start, and you can, based on your means and your income and your desire, because Sonia is probably one of the few people, and I shared this yesterday, that I had a friend call me who said, I need to retire with, he said the same thing, $3 million. I'm like, well, when are you planning to retire? Oh, 8 to 10 years. How much do you have? In that time frame, he would need at least a million. He doesn't even have half a million. But he's also called me 10 years ago saying the same thing. So clearly that time he wasted to get started, I mean, I can't work magical powers. You know, I am really glad that we had you on, Sonia, because we heard your story. We related to you. It's doable. You know, we heard you. And I hope people realize that it is doable. You know, she shared everything she could, and she is going to be retiring soon enough as a multimillionaire and living comfortably, doing whatever she wants to do with her time and her money. Without being an entrepreneur. So congratulations to Sonia in advance.
Thank you. And I don't want to give the impression that I'm against working with investment professionals. What I want them to do is, if I know how much I'm spending in fees now, and I'm going to give you the exact same money, you got to show me that I'm going to have more money. I do seek out professionals for support in estate planning, taxes, how to make sure that I am setting up the right tax protected accounts and making tax protected trades and things like that. And I'm not against somebody saying, I don't want to manage this. I want somebody else to manage it. I'm not against it. But, you know, whenever I get the phone calls, so, you know, Fidelity moved me into their private client group and they call me all the time with proposals. And I'm like, if it's costing me X, I think the first time they called me a proposal, they analyzed my fees, and my fees based on what I was investing in was like $5,000 a year. And I was like, well, if I'm paying $5,000 a year and your proposal is 7 or 8 or 10, why would I spend an extra, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 with you? And nobody can give me a really good answer.
And that's what it boils down to. And at the end of the day, we have to educate ourselves to know that, because we've all got in the past.
Yes.
And the only way to prevent that is by investing in yourself, investing in your education to understand and ask real questions that's going to help you, or else you will continue to get got. You would continue to pay for somebody else to do something worse than what you could do for yourself. Because that's the other part too. I mean, we're not against it either. But if you can do it for yourself and you could keep more money and you could outperform them.
Well, speaking of questions, Ayanna, I want to make sure before we start wrapping up, if there are any questions, Marshall on Facebook, if there are any questions on the radio, Dorita and Ayanna, if there's any questions in the chat on Zoom.
Well, we have a lot of comments, Sonia, saying thank you so much for sharing your story. I think a lot of people have been inspired by what you, I know I have been. I hope to retire with similar figures and within a similar time frame.
Yeah, I think it's important. We had a lot of people that came on late, and then there will be people who will be listening in the future because this show is evergreen. And I like for Sonia to just share how old she was when she started, because there's been a lot of people who missed the beginning of your story. When you talk about your age, because I want people to understand, like Ayanna always says, start now, no matter what age you are.
Absolutely.
Can you just kind of wrap us up with that, please?
So I didn't start investing. I started working when I was 23. I got my first corporate job in corporate America at the age of 23. I didn't start investing in my 401k until I was 26, 27 years old. And I cashed out that first 401k I was investing in. I ended up cashing that out to pay off debt and to buy my first house. So I really didn't get going strong until I was 30. And that's when I tell people all the time, start when you can, start now. I literally just had a conversation with one of my coworkers today. He was just like, I'm 24. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get started. And I just told him, I said, start small, start with what you know. Don't invest money that you're going to need within the next 5 years. And if you can't explain it to somebody, if you can't explain it to your 5-year-old daughter, don't buy it. And literally that's been my philosophy this whole time, is start small, start with what I know, start where I'm at, and just watch my money grow. And there's so many books you can buy. There's so many free resources that you can tap into to really, you know, study the basics and the fundamentals, that there's no excuse for, and especially being a woman, being a single woman, there's no excuse not to, you know, invest in yourself. And like I said, I think I heard one person say, you know, pay yourself first. You know, once I got out of debt, it was like, well, am I paying me? Am I making sure that I'm good? So I started focusing on paying myself before I paid anybody else. You know, I just happened to hear the guy from Vanguard say, you really need to look at index funds. And I was like, well, you know, then I started, well, what am I paying in fees on my mutual funds? Like, wow, you know, and then I started looking, I was like, oh, 1.5%, 2%. I was like, well, something's got to change. This isn't going to work. So it's just like stuff like that. You know, even people that you don't really believe in, you can get some nuggets of truth or some things that you can use to just make small changes in how you're approaching your investing. It'll make a huge amount. It'll make a huge difference in what you have in the end.
Thank you, Sonia.
All right. So any closing words, either one of you, before we prepare to wrap up? We're just going over just a little bit, but it's been so phenomenal. And Sonia, you've blessed all of us. I can't speak for everybody else. And for those of you that are listening in on the chat, if Sonia has blessed you tonight, can you just say, blessed me, I'm blessed. Let us hear from you, because it's always good to have that interaction, please. Ione, if you want to give some closing remarks. Sonia, any closing remarks, please?
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you, Akari, for connecting us. This is great. I didn't even know anything about Better Investment. Akari has been talking about you guys, and I was like, I got to check you guys out. And when you made the connection, I was like, this is awesome. So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure. And as a matter of fact, Ione is starting a model club. You may be interested in joining her model club. She can give you the details. Oh, excuse me. I think I just told the world. So the world, if you're interested, if you're interested in learning more about investing, Ione McNeil is starting a model club. So she's going to put her contact information in the chat, and Marshall is going to place her information on Facebook. So those of you who are interested in learning more, and I think that, Sonia, you would be an awesome addition, not just learning, but also to share, because your story, I think, touches all of us at different points in our life and different points in our investing journey.
I would love to be part of it.
Oh, Ione. Oh.
I'll reach out to you, Ione, after this is over.
Everybody else, no excuses now. Reach out to Ione.
Yeah, you have a deadline by this Saturday. And if you know me,
well that's what I'm telling people now. So if they wait till the deadline is Saturday.
If people don't reach out to me by Friday and be on this last call by Saturday, you're going to miss the boat. So, you know.
No excuses. No excuses. I'm in the club, so I want to learn. All right. This is so exciting. We want to thank everybody. This is my investing story. We all have a story, and we'd like to give you a platform to share that story. So please, whatever you do, do not wait to start. Start now and finish rich. All right, everybody. See you next time. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to make sure I thank the volunteers. Excuse me. Very important, because they may quit on us. Marshall, Michelle, Doretha, Laverne, Girl, Ione, everybody, thank you. You know, we don't pay. We don't get paid, so we want to thank our volunteers.
It's all sweat equity.
Okay. All right, okay. Everybody. Now we can say goodbye. Thank you, Coach. Right. Okay, bye.